Amen, amen. Grab your Bibles. Let's turn today. I'm going to try you two scriptures today, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 4 and Psalm 71. And it is great to celebrate the story of our lives that only Jesus can write in here. I hope you guys have had a great time in the Lord worshiping. Now we're going to get in the Word. So let's begin. Broadly speaking, it strikes me every time I get up here to preach that this assembly of people called the church represents three generations. People that were born in different times and there are different life stages, and that's what makes up the church. We call it generations. Every Sunday, we have a younger generation in here. People in their 20s and 30s. If you're here and you're in your 20s or 30s, would you just raise your hand? If you're in 20s or 30s, raise your hand. Oh, young people. So good to have you with us, all right? Glad you guys are here. Now, if you're in a middle-aged generation, you're in your 40s and 50s, why don't you raise your hand? You're in your 40s or 50s here, middle age. All right, 80s rock. All right, great. All right, right. And then for those of you in an older generation, 60 and over, would you raise your hand? All right, yay! All right, great, great. All right, we have discounts for you in the bookstore today. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Listen, here's the deal. If you don't like the age category that I put you in, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60 plus, then make up your own category. If you're young, you're young. Call yourself whatever you want to be. But the rest of us are going to kind of preach through reality today. And here's the deal. I think it's fun. If you can't laugh at the family of God, the church, if you can't kind of laugh with and at one another, then what good is church, right? We have the joy of the Lord. So it's interesting for me as I start to preach to this audience every Sunday to go, hey, it's interesting to know that we got different stuff going on. We have different likes. For instance, there is a generation gap always in fashion. There's a generation in here who likes skinny jeans. There's a generation in here that wears yoga pants, even when they're not doing yoga. And the generation that makes fun of that is the generation that wear bell bottoms and parachute pants. There's a generation of pleats and non-pleats. My wife's been educating me. You can't wear pleats anymore. Back in the olden days, you could. It was a good thing, right? There's a generation in here who are wearing the Levi's that they bought 10 years ago for $10 that don't have holes in the legs. And there's a generation in here who just bought 100 pair of jeans yesterday that came with holes in them, right? We're just different. There's a generation with sagging jeans, a generation with sagging eyes, and a generation that just sags. That's what we face every Sunday we come in here. There's a generation in here that's never and would never pay more than 5 cents for a cup of coffee that they make in their own coffee maker at home. And then there's a generation that every day pays $4 plus for a cup of coffee from Starbucks or some other place. There's a generation in here who remembers when TV was invented. Okay? There's a little green, grainy box. They were excited about it, all right? There's a generation in here who remembers when a cable first came in. We didn't have to watch the rabbit ear station. We would watch cable television. We had VHS. It was so cool. Go down to the store and buy a movie, all right? And there's a generation in here that can't believe that we live with such little technology, right? There's a generation in here whose dance was the twist. There's a generation in here whose dance was the cabbage patch or the moonwalk, right? There's a generation whose dance is the whip nay nay. And thank you. And hitting the quan. If you're young in here, my son told me to say that last one. I don't know what hitting the quan is. No idea. All right. Trust me, I'm not dancing that dance, that's for sure. There's a generation of guys in here who have long hair and they can do anything they want with their hair. They can cut it and they can grow it long. They can put it in a man bun if they want to. That's a joke against our college young adult pastor, Charlie, today. There's a generation of guys who don't have very much hair. They're losing their hair, so they just kind of arrange it and just kind of cover stuff up. And there's a generation who grow all kinds of hair in their nose and their ears and their eyebrows. It's not a problem, right? So the point is that we're different. We were raised in different eras and we've had different experiences. And what I believe about the church is that that's one of the most beautiful things about the church. I just want to point out this morning that we're different and encourage us. The church has always been a family made up of different generations. But here's the deal. We celebrate every generation and every stage here. And in fact, the body of Christ needs every generation. We're going to look today at two writings from two older generation men. One's the Apostle Paul. You know him well. In 1 Timothy, he's writing to a younger man in the faith. The other one is an unknown guy from Israel, about 600 or 700 BC perhaps, and he's reminiscing about his journey with God and hoping that someday he gets to share his faith with a younger generation. So let's read these two together. Let's see what the Holy Spirit does with these. You guys laughed more than the sanctuary did today, so I already like you better. Just kidding. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, very famous, popular passage. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, if you want to turn over in your Bibles to Psalm 71, we're going to start there in verse 8. A lot of times people ask me why we don't put scriptures on the screen. We don't, because we want you to have your own Bible that you bring to church with you. If you need one, go to the bookstore today. We'll be glad to give you one. We just think this is not just a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing, all right? Psalm 71, verse 8 says, "My mouth is filled." Now remember, an older guy, you'll catch it here in just a moment. "My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, 'God has forsaken him.' Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me. I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come." Let's pray and ask the God to speaks to us today, each generation in this family here called Eastview. God, I pray that you would come in a powerful way as only you can. That you would get in the face of every generation here. We all need to grow in you. We all need to figure out the voice that you've given us. And I pray today that you would encourage us, but you also convict us and change us. We don't want to walk away from church today the same. So God, we're open to hear from you. Would you please speak? Would you use the words that you give me by your Holy Spirit and the Word of God to do miracles today, right now? We believe you can, and we ask that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, these Spirit-inspired writings, I want to get clear here, are not just for certain generations. They're for all of us. They're Holy Spirit-inspired words. So words written to young people, words written to old people, they're for all of us. And so don't just tune out when I'm talking to certain generations. But one of the things I did this week as I'm studying through this, by the way, both of these are written in the context of family. Okay, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy is written obviously from a man in the faith who's the father of the faith, Paul, writing to a son in the faith, Timothy. He says it several times. And then in the instructions, he talks about older men and younger men in the congregation, older women, younger women in the congregation. It's a very family-centric kind of teaching. Timothy's in this real church that's made up of real different generations. The other one, Psalm 71, the author whom we don't know, it's just writing. He goes, "Man, God, you've been with me from my youth, and now I'm older, I've got gray hairs, and I want you to be able to let me say, just share one more time with another generation about how faithful you have been." And so we just need to understand that we read this in the family context, and we come together today in the congregation of a family context. So let's just kind of assess where we are on our different stages of life. In our youth, we often feel looked down on. Okay, maybe you can relate to this. Here's what he says in 12. Remember, let no one despise you for your youth. That word despise means to look down on. And so Timothy, we figure out Timothy was probably a preacher in Ephesus, and he was in an era where old age was revered and honored, and youth was pretty much put aside. But Timothy found himself as the leader, as the one who's a spiritual leader of this church in Ephesus. And so Paul's saying, Timothy, I know you think people aren't listening to you. I know you think people are not paying attention to what you're saying. But listen, don't let them look down on you because you're young. I think it's still true today. I think many people in a younger age, even though we respect age less in this culture, it doesn't mean that we respect youth more. And I think there's a lot of people, even in this church, who go, man, if they just let me run this, if they just let me have this input, if they just listen to what I was saying, if they just read my blog, I'd fix the whole world, right? And you know, the honest thing is, from a middle-aged generation, I have to say, you're probably right. You got a lot of smart things to say. So there's a frustration. Here's what I think about your generation. Here's your challenge. You're overly exposed and under-experienced. You have at your fingertips the world. You can see anything at any time, and you can know anything at any time. Just Google it. And you know a lot, probably know too much. But you don't have life experience. You're under-experienced, and therefore, sometimes older people have a tendency to look down on you. In the middle age, middle years, we often feel these two words popped out of me in 1 Timothy 4:15. There's a lot of great words here. We can't cover them all, but look at the word there in 15, immerse yourself in them. And then immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Immerse in progress. And this really speaks to me of the middle age. Again, it speaks to all of us. But if I think about middle-aged people, the people that I know, me, my wife, that we often find ourselves immersed in a lot of stuff. We're immersed in kids' activities. We're immersed in getting kids from here to there all the time. We're immersed in our work. We're immersed in family obligations and emergencies that happen. We're immersed making more money so we can say yes to everything our kids want, to be good parents. We really are immersed in life, and we're going all the time. The best metaphor I can give us is that we are on the treadmill of life. We have run 20 miles today, but we have not made any progress in the distance that we've covered. And so here's the deal. Here's your generational challenge for those of us who are exhausted and stressed and asking what for what. Our generational challenge is we're overly busy and unfulfilled. The Lord's got a word for us today in the midst of that, in that teaching. Now, in our old age, here's what the words are from Psalm 71. I hope you picked them up as I was reading them. I tried to emphasize them in Psalm 71, 9, 11, and 12. The word cast off. Oh God, don't cast me off. Do not cast me off in the time of my old age, verse 9. God, don't forsake me, verse 9. God, my strength is spent, verse 9. Other people are forsaking me, verse 11, because they think you're done with me. He's praying to God for God not to forsake him in his old age. Why is that? Because he knows God's not going to forsake him, but he feels forsaken. He feels like he's gotten older. His energy's a little lower. He doesn't have as much strength as he once had. And so he describes himself as spent. My strength is spent, and I feel cast off. And the prevalent frustration, as I read it, of an older generation in here is that you're not as strong as you used to be. You can't go as fast as you used to, and you're a little bit afraid that the world's passing you by and changing without asking you the stuff that you've learned. You got a lot of wisdom to share. Here's what I think about the generational challenge, that you're overly afraid that it's all passing you by, and you're underappreciated. And so that goes on all the different generations around you as well. So what do we do with this? If this is our family reality and this is our generational reality, let's talk about this. Let's have a family conversation today, can we? Can we just be brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers in here? And let's just be honest and let the Word of God open up what He wants to tell us today. Because here's the deal. You're probably sitting there going, I thought this thing was called We Speak. And we're supposed to be talking about how we share our faith with the world. Well, here's the kicker for the church, the congregation of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. And if we don't learn to speak to one another, then we have no message for the world. In fact, the strongest thing that we have to say to the world is how we love one another. And I believe that God has called us to speak into each other's lives throughout our lives. Nobody's off the speaking hook here today. But I also believe, after studying and praying this week, that God has given each generation in here, every age category in here, you have a unique way that you can speak that no one else can. And so I'm going to encourage you to listen to all of them. Don't tone out when we're talking to not your generation, because all of these are inspired words of God. They're for all of us. Let's begin with the youth, the young people in here in their 20s or 30s. Remember, Timothy was a younger generation guy. 1 Timothy 4, he's saying, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. That word neotes is a military term. It literally means a soldier that's under 40. So Timothy could be as much as 40. Most scholars, because of timing and all the historical stuff that they've done, they think he's about 30 years old. Now, the problem is Timothy is 30 years old in one of the wisest cities in the world. He's the pastor of First Christian Church of Ephesus, and not very many people are respecting him. In fact, he's probably finding a very hard time relating to them, and there's a lot of conflict from especially older critics within his congregation. And I want you to listen today. How does Paul tell Timothy to speak loudly? How is it that he speaks? Well, first of all, that great word there, let no one despise you for your word, but set the believers an example. Timothy, here's how you're going to change the world, dude. You're not going to talk it through. You're not going to write a book that changes everything. Just live a life that sets an example. Great word. We've talked about it before. This word example is the word tupas. Okay? We get our word type from that. All right? Literally, in the olden days, it means I take a hammer and a chisel and I chisel out some letters on a stone, on marble. And that mark that I leave, that's the tupas, that's the example. And so it comes into we have the same thing. Back in the olden days, a younger generation, we had these things called typewriters. And they were actual, you know, letters would come up and hit a ribbon with black ink and they would leave a mark on the page. The mark from the chisel, the mark on the page, the mark of your life, that's what he's talking about here. Timothy, mark people with the way you live. Leave an example. You may not be able to mark young people. Here's your challenge. You are smart. You do have answers. You have figured a lot of stuff out. It's just that people aren't going to listen to your words as much as they're going to listen to your lives. So live a life that leaves a mark. Here's what he says. He gives five things to work on. Leave a life in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. In other words, if you're in here today and you want to make a difference, you want to speak into this congregation, then talk by living a different life. Conduct your life differently, speak differently, love in a passionate way, a ridiculous way, believe more than the people around you. Listen, this is the chance for you to change the church. You know that? I've always believed this. I've been a youth pastor from way back, all right? Did it for 16 years, and I always believe that what happens in youth ministry today is what the church is going to look like in 20 or 30 years. You know what that means? If you're younger generation in here, you can begin living a life of faith that's deeper than your parents, that's better than your grandparents. You can set us an example. We'll become a better church. You can do that for us. He says the same thing to his young preacher, son in the faith, Titus. Urge younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model, to be a tupas of good works. It's true of any age category. Remember, your first and best witness is the life you live. But he goes on to Timothy, if you're young, hey, set an example in the way that you live, but also use your spiritual gifts. It looks like, according to verse 13, that Timothy was a preacher. It's the stuff that I'm doing right now, reading scripture, exhortation, and teaching. So apparently he was the preacher in Ephesus. But you know how he got that job? It's his Holy Spirit gift. Look what he says, verse 14. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Now, most of us don't have that experience where the elders lay their hands on us and say, this is your Holy Spirit gift. I wish that was as easy, that we just line the elders up and line you up and we'd say, name your gift and we'd assign you a place to work in the church according to your gift. But here's what I do know. We don't have that prophetic kind of utterance all the time. But what we do know is that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and he is your Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. And that not only gives you power, but it also gives you a gift that is good for the body of Christ. Young people in here, here's what I want you to know. You have a gift. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you're a leader. Maybe you help. Maybe you host. Maybe you work. Maybe you pray. I don't know what your gift is, but here's what I know. We need you to use it right now, not when you get older. We don't need you to wait. I know oftentimes when you're in this stage of life and you're like, well, someday, today's the day. Timothy, don't neglect your gift. We need it for the church. And then just briefly, do it under the council of elders. I want you to see the council of elders that were in Timothy's life. Verse 14, we don't know what this council was. Could have been the elders of the church in Lystra where Timothy's home church was. Maybe they came around and said, okay, we've seen you grow up and you have this gift. Could just be old people. The word for elders, I've told you this before, the three words for elders in the church, one is presbyteros, and it simply means old men. So maybe the council of old guys got around Timothy and said, here's your gift, dude. We got a prophecy for you. You're going to preach. You're going to be the one that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now listen, here's the deal. We need to, if you're a younger generation, you need to get under the counsel of older people. You need to hang out with older people. And older generations, I want to encourage you, speak into younger Christian lives. Help them discover their gifts. That's what the church did for you. The reason you know your gifts, if you're here in your 50s and 60s, is because somebody grew you up, taught you in Sunday school, nurtured you along the way, gave you a word of encouragement. I can just tell you my own testimony. You've heard it before. I grew up in the church. I was in the church since I was 2 weeks old. And as far back as I can remember, people were patting me on the head and saying, "You're going to be a preacher someday. How's it going, little preacher man? Hey, can't wait for you." You know, even last week, somebody was saying, "Someday you're going to be a great preacher." I mean, people encourage me all the time. It's a life of encouragement. Older generation, make sure that you're speaking into the life of a younger generation, that you're saying to them, "Hey, God's got a plan for you, and God wants to use you, and God's got a gift for you." Help them identify. Younger generation, the best way to get close to an elder generation is to get involved in the church that you attend. You can lead by example, and the body gets better. And so when you go on a missions trip, you lead by example, but you also get a touch with an older generation. When you teach in Kids View or in one of our youth ministry programs, or you serve in the parking team or the greeting team or the usher team or whatever team you're on, then all of a sudden you're elbow to elbow with other people who are older than you, and you get to set an example and they get to speak wisdom into your life. Go on a short-term mission trip. Get involved in small groups. Ask for mentoring. Just go up to an older person and say, "Hey, I'd like to take you for breakfast." They'll probably buy. Okay? And then you can ask them 10 questions you wonder about the journey and how you get along in your life. Well, so that's some advice for all of us, but for young generation specifically. What about in the middle years? How do we speak best in the middle years? Again, this is true for all age categories because it's the Word of God, but I want to focus on 1 Timothy 4:15-16. These words that just kind of stuck out to me this week as I was reading. And here's how I would say it. If you're in your middle years, if you're 40s and 50s in here, you speak best by keeping a close watch on yourself. It's counterintuitive. I'm going to get to it in just a moment. But you speak best by keeping a close watch on yourself. Look in verse 13. That word devote literally means to pay attention. The word close watch in 16 is a Greek word that means fix attention. Here's what I would say to those of us of my generation, the middle generation, is pay attention to your life. See what it says? Practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and your teaching. Why would he tell Timothy that? Timothy's a preacher. He's doing what God wants him to do. He's been appointed to be the guy at Ephesus to teach the Word of God. Why would he tell this preacher to keep a close watch on yourself? Here's why, and I think this is more prevalent among middle-aged people. We have a tendency to take our attention off of the stuff that's important and focus on other things. This is counterintuitive, but what I'm telling you is that the people in your life, they really want you to pay a close attention to your life because they're listening more to your life than they are to your words. I've said this for parents for many years, one of my favorite youth ministry quotes. The question is not how can you be better parents so that your kids are Christians. The question is how can you be a better Christian so that when your kids grow up to be like you, they'll like who you are and you'll respect them for them following in your footsteps. The reality is that our kids and our generation, and we are in this generation, guys. When you're in middle age, guess what? You have more of an audience than ever before. Kids are watching. For some of us at the older age, the grandkids are watching. Our parents are watching how we're going to love. People are watching how we're going to deal with aging parents and how we're going to deal with kids in high school, how we're going to pay for college. There's so many things that we can get distracted with. But the reality is that if we're going to be better for Jesus Christ and we're going to be speaking louder if we just make an effort to pay attention to our lives. In fact, in verse 15, he uses this word immerse. Now, you might have thought, baptism, that's a Greek word that we use. We talk about how people are immersed, but this is a different word. It's a word that literally means to be. He's saying, Timothy, I want you not just to practice these things, be these things. Don't just teach them, live it. And I promise you that the best way for you to be a great Christian husband is to focus on being a godly man, and your wife and kids will like you. And if you are in here and you want to be a great godly mom, then just focus, immerse yourself in living Jesus' way, and your kids will get it. And if you want to influence the people that you sit with at soccer games and ballet recitals and all that stuff, you want to be an influence, then just live it, immerse yourself, watch your own life. your coworkers, your neighbors, the people all around you, they will see you practicing what you believe and then make progress. I think that this is a thing that's a reality for those of us in our middle age, is that we just kind of hold on for dear life and hope we survive it. You know, all the kids and all the carpools and all the schedule. And honestly, if we're just honest with ourselves, there's times in the middle age, just like, I'm exhausted. I just want to go to bed. I just want to watch TV. I want to veg out. But the reality is that we are called to make progress. You see that word here? To gain ground, to move forward. Did you know that Jesus Christ made progress? We don't know anything about Jesus. This is always intriguing to me. We know Jesus at age 12, he's in the temple debating with scholars. We know him at age 30, and he's starting his ministry. For 18 years, we lose track of Jesus, historically. We have this one little reference in Luke 2:52, the end of the Christmas story. You probably skip it because it's not Christmassy. He grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Jesus, the Son of God, in the flesh, he grew. He made progress. That means he got taller. That means he grew in his faith, how he communicated to God and prayed to God. It means he got smarter. He went to school and he learned wisdom. And he grew in his social skills. How do I relate to men and women? And how do I have my relationship with God? If Jesus Christ progressed in his faith and progressed in his life, then those of us in our middle age, we can't put the brakes on and just kind of coast for 20 years. God calls us to make progress. The reason many of us don't make progress in our lives, there's two reasons. And I encourage you to fight against these. Number one, we don't make progress because we're not taking steps to progress. I want to encourage you. We're going to come out with a tool actually in a couple of months that you can use in your small group that will help you measure progress in your faith. We know it's spiritual. We know you can't always measure things in numbers when it comes to growing in your faith. But just ask yourself, this year, do I trust God more? Am I in the Word more? Am I at church more? Am I using my gifts more? Or have I gone backwards? And take steps to progress in your faith. And then maybe more important than that is just examine your life. Ask yourself every once in a while, am I who God wants me to be? Is this what life's all about? Is there something more? Other generations, here's how we can help the middle generation. Don't demand activity from them. Applaud being, not doing. Okay, so if you're a younger generation, don't demand a bunch of stuff from a middle-aged generation because they've got the time and apparently the undying energy. Applaud their being followers of Jesus Christ, not what they do. Okay, and that brings us to the people in old age. In our old age, we speak best in a couple of ways. Let's go to Psalm 71. If you have your Bibles, turn back over there. We'll hang there for the most part of the rest of this sermon. Psalm 71, the way that you speak best is to fill your mouth with praise. See that in verse 8? My mouth is filled with your praise all the day. And then you can go on down a little bit farther in verse 15. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, yours alone, O Lord. Right? I don't know if you know this or not. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but as we get older, as we age, we have a tendency to get grouchy, right? We just do. Maybe it's because of chronic pain. Maybe it's because of things just not going the way we want. My wife reminds me, my wife will tell you that at age 50, I'm grouchier than I was at age 30. Just get, there's the amen. It's an easy way to find my wife every day, all right? And I remind her that a grouchy person doesn't get less grouchy by you telling them that they're grouchy, right? I could get grouchy just thinking about it, right? But we have a tendency in our old age to get grouchy. This guy who wrote Psalm 71, he could have been an old grouchy old man. Maybe he was sometimes because nobody's perfect. But we get grouchy. We want things to go our way. We're too tired to put up with silly stuff. We don't like change. I mean, again, I'm not in the old age category, but I get so tired of technology. As soon as I get my iPhone exactly the way I want it, they come out with a new one. It makes me grouchy. Yay? Maybe you can relate to that. But we don't like change. We don't like people messing with us. We like things the way that we like things. We're tired. We're maybe in pain. This often means that our mouths are filled with something other than praise. Our mouths often are filled with gossiping or complaining, judging other people. Can I encourage you, the best way for you to crowd out the negative words that come from maybe your grouchiness that you're dealing with today is to fill your mouth with praise. that really when you come in here on a Sunday morning to sing praise songs to God with the congregation, that shouldn't be the first song that you sing, that you're carrying the tune of praise that you've been singing the whole week long, that you have your worship with God intact all the time so that when you walk in here, you can begin saying to people who are younger who need to hear from you, hey, guess what? God's good. God's awesome. God's been faithful. I don't know if you know this or not. This is true in my marriage. It's true in life. It's true with people I encounter. It's true in your life. People don't listen to people who grumble and complain. Grouchy people don't get an audience. People just walk away and go, he's grouchy. Right? They don't listen to him. Right? You know how to change that? You know how to influence people? Change the words of grouchiness and complaint and bitterness into words of praise. Praise God for all he's done. Don't judge a younger generation because they're going to change the church. I'm just telling you, I'm in the middle of it now, right? People go, you know, they don't like change. The only person that likes change is a baby with a bad diaper, right? The only person in the world that likes change, right? Nobody likes change. The older you get, the less you like it. But I have an old friend of mine, 84 years old. He's been a preacher his whole life. He preached in two different churches for 55 years. Now he just preaches every weekend. And he said, towards the end of his last ministry, he said, when I walk into church and I don't like anything that's going on, I know I'm in the right place. Because guess what? It's not for me. They're preaching the word. They're singing worship songs to God. They're nurturing people in the faith through small groups. They're doing everything that the Bible says we should be. They're just doing it with lasers and stuff. And I know that there's going to come a time that I'm going to come in. And I'm just going to share this with you because this is crazy. Brandon Grant, remember Brandon Grant, our old college pastor? I usually shut this off, but I just got an email from him saying that he's praying for us right now. Oh, he's out in San Diego. That's cool. Sorry, I'm distracted. Anyway, I should not have my emails on while I am. It's actually a message. I've lost my mind. Okay. The bottom line is, guys, is that we speak loudly with the praise that we have. That's what he says in Psalm 71, verse 15, a mouth that tells of salvation. Here's the message you have, older people. You are wise. You have so much life experience. But the very best thing you can say, beyond the advice on how we should buy a car or raise our kids or do our finances or whatever, beyond all that, your greatest word, your best speaking comes when you say, guess what? God has been faithful. He saved me. Maybe you can't think back that far, but remember when you were saved. Share that with us. Remember the prayers that God has answered. Share that with us. Remember that you have hope in eternal life. Share that with younger generations. Remember that God has been with you every step along the way. He has been faithful. Verse 16 says, I want to remind them of your righteousness. Verse 17 says, I want to proclaim your wondrous deeds. Verse 18 says, I want to proclaim your might. The word you have for us, older generation, is that you can speak to us of God's faithfulness. We don't have the track record that you have. I want you to see subtly here what's really cool, and I want to place this passion in your heart. If you're here today and you're a part of an older generation, would you make this your prayer? God, from my youth you have taught me, I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, God, don't forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation. There's another generation who needs to hear of the might of God. And you, in your older age, you are the best witnesses of that. So I encourage you to be a part of that. Younger Christians, would you give older people a chance to speak into your lives? Would you get close to them and listen to them? They've got a lot of wisdom, and their journey is your encouragement to keep going. There's people in here that have been married for 50-plus years. People have been Christians for 70 years. There's people who started this church. There's a lot to learn. And so would you just go up to them and say, hey, I'd like to talk with you, and they'd be glad to. What does this all have to do with we speak? Well, I believe that the way that you and I show unity and love for one another as a family of different generations is the way the world is attracted to what we do here. Jesus said it this way, by this will all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. And it's the way we get along as generations, from 20s to 80s, that makes us different than other places in the world. And so today, I just wanted to take a few moments to thank and pray for each generation that's in here today and ask God to give them strength to speak as only they can. And so I'm just going to ask you this. We don't do this all the time, but if you would, even if you're visiting, I'd love to do this. If you're in your 20s or 30s here today, would you just stand up? I want to pray over you. We're going to pray over all the generations here as we close out today. God, I pray your blessing on this generation that will face stuff that we don't know of, but you do. This generation that 20, 30 years from now will be the ones who are leading this church. They'll be the ones in authority. I pray your blessing on them now, Lord. I pray that you would help them live lives that are exemplary, that leave a mark on those around them. I pray that you would make their speech wholesome and their lives pure. I pray that you would help them have great faith beyond what we can imagine. And I pray that you'd help them spur us on to good deeds and love because of what you're doing in their young lives. Lord, thank you for their energy. Thanks for all they do and the way that you just move in them and have that great early life just excitement about stuff that's going on. God, would you give them great energy and great love for you today. Help them set an example. Your blessing on them, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're here and you're in the middle age, would you stand up? Father God, I pray your blessing on the middle agers of our church. And I pray that you would give us the wisdom to make progress in our faith this week, to get past the busyness of this world, the stuff we think we have to do. Help us not to be immersed in stuff that's distracting or stuff that doesn't matter, but help us make progress in our faith, God. A lot of people are watching us. Would you give us the strength to be good examples to our children and our grandchildren and to our aging parents and to our friends who don't know you? God, would you help us speak by making progress and paying attention to the journey of our life and your faithfulness? God, please bless this generation. Help it to honor you and to be a part of this body here at Eastview in a powerful way. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. And finally, if you're an older generation in here, would you stand? Amen. Let me pray for you. God, we pray a prayer of thanksgiving for this generation that's gone before us, that have sacrificed financially and physically to make this place what it is. And so I just pray right now you bring great joy in their lives, the richest blessings on them as they just savor all your faithfulness and how great you've been throughout all their lives. God, I pray that you would help us to seek their wisdom and help their wisdom not to be cast away or thrown out. I pray that you would bless them, Lord, with opportunities to speak into younger generations, Lord. We thank you for this generation. Pray your blessing on them today. Amen. And then if you would all stand up together, let's just all join in prayer. Father God, I pray that you would make us a family, that you would help us older ones be patient with the younger ones, help younger ones to lean into the wisdom of the older, help us all to strive for the same thing, the advancement of your kingdom as the church of God. I pray that you bind us together in unity, Father. You make us the church you want us to be here. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a great day. Thanks.